Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Inside the 8 o'clock hour on The Fan. I got to figure out something with this cough. I got the hot water lemon honey. In the break, like, I try to have a cough drop and then I end up wasting the cough drop. It is what it is. I've been fighting this all week. I ended up calling out one night because I just couldn't stop coughing, and I don't want to call out, man. I want to rock these shows. I want to talk to you guys. I want to do my job, but it's hard to do the job when you get that tickle in your throat and you got to cough. You know, I go on these runs where I have things I want to say, and it trips me up, and I don't want to be on the cough button. But 1 hour down, four to go. I'll have some guests come in and help me out. But what I was saying before the break about Julius Randle, maybe there's a silver lining here, right? And I hate to say that. Julius Randle was the guy who chose the Knicks. I'm a goofy-ass Nets fan. I remember, right? You thought KD and Kyrie might come to the Knicks. Hey, KD. Like, they chose the Nets, but Julius Randle said, no, I'll go to the Knicks, when it seemed like people did not want to put on that blue and orange jersey. He was the first one in this era to start this era, right? A couple years back, coming out of the pandemic, we here. The Knicks are back. And I referenced Knicks fans spitting on Trae Young, but a lot of folks said he disappeared in that series. And then last year against the Heat, people also blamed him for that. Even though we know he was hobbled, he had the ankle, whatever. What I'm trying to say is everything happens for a reason. My saying, my tagline, original slogan is the universe never unconnects. It's already written. We don't know what's going to happen. But when I look at this Knicks team, and that's why I'm not hating. That's why I'm not one of these Nets fans that's like, I hate the Knicks and the Sixers. I hope they both lose. No, this never happened, Joe. There's a whole generation of Knicks fans that have never seen the Knicks be this good. I saw what Jalen Brunson just put out there. A lot of it is around this kid and his dad and him growing up in this area and him being on the garden floor. That stuff is all connected. I believe in higher power. I believe in all of that type of stuff. And maybe Julius Randle was not meant to be a part of this number two seed run to the Eastern Conference Finals and maybe the NBA Finals. 877-337-6666. It's coming up fast. And I don't care that the Sixers are favored. I get what the national media thinks about the Knicks. I'm a basketball fan. I watch TNT. I watch NBA Today. I watch a lot of these pundits that they don't watch the Knicks games, especially if they're out in the West. Like, they don't watch the Knicks night in and night out. I have to for my job. They're good. And they have a bona fide superstar that they got for less. Steal the deal. And even when they signed him, folks were like, he's never been an all-star. He wasn't a top draft pick. He's small. So what? Watch his game. He isn't the tallest guy. He isn't the fastest guy. He isn't the strongest guy. He isn't the most athletic guy. But he's polished, and he is an actual dog. Like, he plays like the little dog with all the big dogs, but he's the toughest one. So when I look at the Sixers, they're frauds all the time. They fail all the time. And you already heard me say, it doesn't matter who the cast of characters are around Embiid. Trust the process. They are forever processing. Ben Simmons, Jimmy Butler, James Harden. It does not matter who they put with Joel Embiid. He's going to fold. He's already compromised. And they talk so much in the NBA about chemistry, right? They talk so much in the NBA about the reps and experience and guys playing together. Well, the Sixers were without him for most of the season. That's how they ended up where they were in the play-in. I don't want to hear the talk about, oh, they could have been the two seed. Could have, would have, should have. That's not reality. That's not what happened. In reality, they put together three guys that won national championships together in Philadelphia, in Brunson, DiVincenzo, and Hart. They have a championship pedigree. Jay Wright had these kids practicing a certain way, playing a certain way, and they're still doing that to this day. And that is going to translate, and that feeds into the rest of their teammates. From it doesn't matter if it's Precious Achiuwa, it doesn't matter if it's Hartenstein, Mitchell Robinson, that energy going into this playoffs, they have a championship pedigree. They play with a lot of heart, energy, and their condition because their coach keeps them out there and people try to rag on him saying he runs them. We'll see. Now is the test. At the end of the season, a lot of these guys' bodies fail on them because they load manage all year, because they do take nights off, and then they want to ramp up the intensity for the playoffs. Oh, it's for real now. It's been for real for the Knicks the whole season. Even the last game against the Bulls where folks are saying, oh, maybe they should try and get the three seed and just lose the game. No. What kind of mentality is that? That's not how they play. If you watch them play, they're not trying to lose at all. So here you go, Knicks fans. Like, there's no time for cold feet. No time to be shook of the Sixers. I would bet the Knicks heavy. And I would, if I'm a Knicks fan and this never happens, I'd be making plans to drive down the turnpike and go see them in Wells Fargo. I'd be making plans to try and go to the Garden any way that I could. It's not promised that this team will be back next year exactly how it is. It's going to be different. So I don't know. We'll get to the Knicks conversation later on tonight. Ian Begley will join me to do that. Coming up in 5 minutes is Sweeney Murdy. We're going to keep talking about the Yankees and John Sterling and the New York Mets. It's baseball season. It's basketball season. It's hockey season. And you know it's always football season with the NFL draft coming up next week. This is Keith McPherson on The Fan. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back, I promise.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month. Brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Only right to play that song that they play before the Yankees hit the field. Joining me right now, one of my all-time favorites. I got a ton of respect for this guy. Before I ever said a word on The Fan, I listened to him on The Fan, and you've probably heard me say this a bunch of times. I love the way that he handled the Yankees post-game because as fans, we are irrational. As fans, we tie our emotions to every single game. And my guy Sweeney Murdy was even keeled. He was professional, and he was the same every night. A lot of nights, it helped me calm down and go to sleep. Back on The Fan right now, my OG Sweeney Murdy. What's up, Sweeney?
My man Keith, how you doing tonight?
Great. Always great. I mean, the coughing thing is what it is. It's hard to do a show when you have a cough, but not passing up on my opportunity, you know?
There you go. Allergy season gets to us all, my man.
Yeah, I guess that's what it is, because I'm not sick, but I just have a reoccurring cough, but whatever. Sweeney, let's start with the main thing, which I text you about. I'm like, John Sterling, you know, in my open, I talked about how many nights I listened to the pregame show with John and Susan, and then I listened to the call, and then I listened to your postgame show. That's hours and hours and hours, hundreds of hours that I've probably logged over the years, and that was a consistent thing, and that's done, no more. But I know you got to have some type of story that you want to share about John or something you want to say for all the listeners on WFAN now that John Sterling has called it official, called it a career, and decided to retire this week.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I hope it's for all the right reasons, as he has said it is, and happy for him if that's the case. So that's fantastic to hear. I haven't actually gotten a chance to speak with him yet. You know, he's been pretty busy the last couple of days, hard to get a hold of him. But I think when you think about like what you just described is, I think, what we all have to remember about how special baseball broadcasters are. You know, baseball is not once a week on Sundays. It's not every few days. Baseball is every day, you know, and it goes through, you know, it goes through the end of the spring, all through the summer, into the fall. So if you're a kid, you're going through the end of one school year, you're going through summer, and then you're getting to another school year. And it's just kind of a constant, whether you're at home, you're in the car, you're at the beach, whatever you're doing all year, you know, you're going to have a baseball game on if you're a fan. And the voices on the radio are the one constant. For John Sterling, he got to call some of the biggest moments. I mean, you just heard it right before I came on, right? The World Series championships. And whether you're talking about, Derek Jeter's 3,000th hit or some of the other great individual moments, Aaron Judge's 62nd home run, all those little things that you remember. Whatever age you have been through all those, you're carrying all those moments with you. And John was the one describing it for you. And if you remember the 1996 World Series or the 2000 World Series, you're now an adult, right? And you're still hearing that voice, or you have been. So those are the kinds of memories that only radio baseball announcers can truly bring to you and stir up those kinds of emotions. And I know that's what every Yankee fan is going through as they, you know, think about this over the last few days and leading up to, what's hopefully going to be a nice ceremony on Saturday at the stadium.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. I just, you know, think about it. I'm washed. I'm like, I've been hearing this stuff since a kid. It's iconic. It's part of Yankee baseball, yourself included. You know, a parallel between you and John, when your time ended here at WFAN, we saw Derek Jeter write a post about you, and Bernie Williams, and a bunch of, you know, people through baseball, not just the Yankees, but, like, you know, sports media. And John kind of had a similar effect, a bunch of people reaching out to speak about John. And, Bernie and GT called their whole career, and you covered their whole careers as well.
Yeah, I'm not going to pretend to be in the same sentence with John, okay? I recognize that I did this for a long time and I have a place on this, but, you know, John's Derek Jeter and I'm Luis Soho, okay? There's really not a fair comparison in all of this. Okay, what and John's going to get his place. Jokic de Leon of the Red Sox gets was the winner of the Ford Frick Award this year and will rightfully be recognized at the Hall of Fame in Cooperstown. John's not far behind. Susan's not far behind. You know, they're both going to have that. And what I appreciated was getting to share some space in a booth and some airtime with both of those two. I mean, think about it. Listen, I worked at this radio station for a very long time. I got to work with Mike and the Mad Dog. I got to work with John Sterling and Susan Waldman. And not just, for a minute, for all those guys for a long time. So I am very appreciative of the fact that there are legends, Hall of Famers. Mike Breen, when I first started, and he was calling Knicks games on FAN. All of these people, and Ian Eagle, who we just heard in the Final Four, and the first of, I hope, dozens. All of these people were part of where I was for a long time. So, listen, I know my place, okay? I played with the Jeters, the Marianos, and Bernies of WFAN, and I took my place on the bench. I was along. I was there. That's fine. But these guys were fantastic. And, to bring it back to John, think about all the people, all the young baseball fans who grew up in their backyard. Anytime they hit a ball, in wiffle ball or with their friends, they're screaming, "It is high, it is far, it is gone." I mentioned this to somebody else the other day. Vince Scully is without a doubt the greatest baseball broadcaster of all time, but his style doesn't lend itself to people imitating his calls in the backyard. It's a different art form. This is something that's just is part of every Yankee fan's life, and they will hear it forever and ever in their minds.
Yeah, I'm thinking about Vin Scully. All we can do with Vin Scully is, it's time for Dodger baseball.
Well, no, listen, all of his calls of historic moments, ring true. The Hank Aaron 715th home run, which, was just, the anniversary was just a couple of weeks ago. And some of the championship, the Gibson home run, some of the championship moments, the no-hitters, the Koufax perfect game. But those are all poetic moments. You go back and listen to the Aaron home run or the Koufax perfect game, and even the Gibson call. Like, they are all, write them down and read them. It's poetry. Yeah. Right? It's a different art form. John's with you for the ride and the emotion of you as a Yankee fan. And I think that's one of the things that I really appreciate, Susan mentioned the other day in an interview when she never actually watches John do the Yankees win, because when they're about to win, she's on the field getting ready for a post-game interview.
Yeah.
I was the one who got to sit in that chair next to John for the ninth inning in many of those cases for a few years. And to watch him on what is truly edge-of-your-seat moment, when there's two on and one out and you're trying to see if they hold on, and then he leans back as the crowd rises, and then as the pitch is about to be thrown, he leans in literally on the edge of his seat. And then the excitement of the moment takes over, and he's all arms and legs with those, as he belts out, "The Yankees win." And it's great to see that emotion, because he's living what everybody in the stadium is living at that moment. Everybody at home watching and listening, what they're living at that moment. And he feels it. He wants the Yankees to win as badly as you do, and it comes across.
Yeah, I love John. I mean, I love the fact that we've gotten him captured with the Sterling cam. The digital team decided to put the video on him the last couple seasons. That was a great idea so people could see that. I know you and I did some rain delay theater for the ALDS in 2022 with the Guardian series, where we were all kind of just in the booth thinking the Yankees were going to play, and that never actually happened. I always remember that. And, John is an icon. He is a living legend. He's a walking goat. He's one of one. And I think what I said earlier was that, we thought he was going to finish at least this whole season. Since he did do the one spring training game opening day, and what just happened was he tapped out and decided that he'd rather do what he was doing in the offseason and hang it up. But it was sudden because the season had begun, so we thought that he was going to keep going, obviously not do some of the road games or whatever. But, the finality of it, the end of it hitting us on Monday, a lot of us are and were sad because it's just like, that's it. We didn't know that was the last call, but you know, he'll be on the call Saturday. And I've put this out there, if he's up to it, if he's feeling good enough for it, man, this season's for John. Let the Yankees be so good that they do get to the World Series where John says, okay, I got one more in me. I'll do game one. How great would that be?
As you know what, that we're so far away from seeing who the Yankees are and what they can be, but boy, that would be a script, wouldn't it? That'd be fantastic. I'm just glad, you know, John is going to get a moment here on Saturday, and I, you know, I'll be waiting like you are to see what the Yankees have planned and see how it's going to come across.
But are you going? Will you be there Saturday?
To be determined, but I'm hoping to be. I have a couple of things I'm juggling right now, but yeah, I'm hoping to be there. It's just going to be a great moment for him, and I'm glad for us that he didn't decide this in November after the season was over, because then months would go by, and then we'd have a day like this, and it would, you know, the emotion is so high right now where if he tells us now and then they had the day for him, you know, a few days later, you know, there's real joy and emotion and that sadness too, for sure, but joy for what we experienced and that we can share with him how much we love him. That's what I'm hoping comes across on Saturday.
Great point. It's on top of the Judge bobblehead day, and it's on top of a matchup with the Rays. Let's talk a little baseball. I know you're paying attention. I know you're still covering the game. I know you just wrote some stuff about Jackie Robinson I was checking out, and you're still tapped in with the Yankees. And like you said, we don't know exactly what they're going to be, but I think so far so good coming off of 82-80, having Juan Soto, having Alex Verdugo, and seeing Marcus Stroman and some of the different additions, even Oswaldo Cabrera being a different player so far this year. What are your thoughts about the Yankees in this early on? I mean, they are the first team to 13 wins. They're in first place, and Aaron Judge hasn't even looked like Aaron Judge.
And that's going to still happen, right, at some point. And I think, you know, listen, how many times have we been through this with a season? You know, you're not going to get every night where it's Judge, Soto, and Stanton all hitting home runs, right? That's, you know, you're going to count on maybe one hand where those three just all light it up and carry the team for a game. But throughout the course of a season, you expect them to be who they are, which is great because it kind of comes and goes with different parts of the lineup, and you hope that somewhat consistency 1 through 9 is what gets you through the season, and those guys are who they are. I think their lineup is still fairly top heavy, but I think that's okay for now. And the games that they're stealing right now are great because I think we all still are a little unsettled with what their pitching staff is for the course of a 6-game season. You want to steal as many games as you can until Gerrit Cole comes back, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's part of what you want to do. You want to steal as many games as you can until Aaron Judge starts going off. And his numbers really aren't that bad. It's, you know, I understand what people looked at a couple of games of the Toronto
series. They're just not him. Yeah. They're not, yeah. He's not himself yet.
But you'll get there. I mean, I look at them every year and say, you know, my whole thing is, do I think they can win 90 games? And the answer to that is yes, I think they can win 90 games. And after that, you kind of see what they look like when they get there, right? Because, I mean, this version right now doesn't have Gerrit Cole. Do you think this version wins the World Series? No. Probably not. So you have to see what they look like. You know, are Soto and Judge healthy and Cole healthy? And, you know, how's their bullpen settled? Is Clay, you know, how's Clay Holmes pitching in the second half of the season? Those kinds of things are all the kinds of things that you're going to figure out as the season goes on. You don't have to have it all figured out. You know, and that's kind of what I used to, what you referred to is like, okay, wins are good, and you say, okay, this is what they look like, and it's fantastic. Take it, put it in the bank, and move on. Losses, okay, you're going to see areas that concern you, but there's time to fix them. And this loss on this particular night doesn't mean that the reason you lost this game doesn't have to mean that's the reason you're not going to win the World Series. You know, there's a lot, you know, and I go all the way back to 1996 when that team was 92-70. You know, they lost 70 games and they were down 2-0 in the World Series. Even the 98 Yankees were down 2-1 to Cleveland in the ALCS before they had to come back. So, you know, there are going to be parts to test you, and I think we're taking the fun out of everything if we try and figure out every single day of the season if this team is good enough to win the World Series. It's, you know, they play a lot of games. Let's enjoy them.
If you haven't listened to WFAN over the last few decades, that's the voice of Sweeney Murdy on the line with me. I don't think I have to do a caller ID, but why not? Sweeney Murdy was nice enough to give us some time. Sweeney, have you paid attention to the Mets and, you know, what they've become over the last 13 games? I think they've been a great story in baseball and a pleasant surprise.
And happy for Carlos Mendoza, who got off to a little bit of a rough start there.
Yeah, LGYN.
And, you know, and ended up, got to know Carlos with the Yankees and really, you know, looking forward to what he can do. You know, Luis Severino's had a couple of good starts here, looks like. And obviously a lot of Yankee people there, but I'm rooting for the Mets, you know, like I look at the people that I know over there and say, you know, this is, you know, it's going to be fun to watch them try to succeed. And they've played well, but again, I'll caution you the same thing. You know, what was everybody saying about them the first week of the season? You know, what's everybody
They're
saying
done.
About them now?
Punt season, David Stearns is turning them into the Milwaukee Mets.
Yeah. You really can't live like that. And
that's what we do in New York.
I understand, but you know, and funny thing, like I always used to take my cue and how I wanted to respond about it by, you know, because we have the ability to talk to the managers and the players, and when you see the good ones, they don't get shaken by losing streaks or a loss, and they don't get too high after a win.
Right.
Then you kind of understand what their mind frame is, and what you are, you know, what you're trying to convey to the fans is what each game means to the team. And that's kind of what I was trying to get after. And I think that's what we have to look at when you look at the Mets right now, is that, you know, they weren't punting after a week and they're not planning parades now, you know? So I think you just look at the fact that, you know, again, you look at them and say, do you think they can win 90? Do they have good players? You think they can win 90, then they're, you know, you're talking about chance for a playoffs. And you've had teams, because of the playoff format and the way it works now, you know, you've got to, you know, just get in, get healthy, get hot. And those things can lead you very far. We saw it with the Diamondbacks. We saw it with the Phillies, you know, just out of the National League the last couple of years. And that's, you know, that's really just a blueprint for everybody. Not a blueprint necessarily, but just a way of hoping how the season can turn out for you. If you're any team that, you know, has even just a hint of playoff contention about you, you have a chance to do it. And I hope the Mets are doing the same thing. Listen, I'm watching. I've got screens with every game on every night, and paying attention as we cover the sport on MLB's social media channels. And I have a part in, you know, I have one voice in shaping how those come out. So follow MLB socials if you're not already. And you mentioned I did have a chance to write an article for Jackie Robinson Day coverage on MLB.com. So go check that out. And, you know, these are the kinds of things that keep me interested. But I'm still living here and watching all these teams and hoping that everybody succeeds in the local area.
Yes, sir. Sweeney, before I let you go, I'm going to set you up. Now, I don't know if you have a specific John Sterling story, a one-to-one story or something to share, but I'll give you some time to think about it. Yesterday, I had Laura Albanese on, who writes for Newsday, and she talked about how, you know, John would have her on years ago, and you know how you can't, like, John has his, like, flip phone, and you can't text John, and she talked about how John was trying to call her he was trying to call Newsday and get in touch with her. And then when he finally did get a hold of her, he was like, Laura, I've been looking for you for everywhere, like via via phone, to tell her about like a murder mystery that was airing on TV. I told you about how I powwowed with John about my show, KM the 2 a.m., and John was telling me what he would like to hear. And you know, we were kind of laughing like, no, that's specifically what John would like to hear on his ride home. Like, John wanted me to do, like, around the league and take a look at all the different divisions and matchups every night. And I'm like, John, that's not going to happen. These callers do not care about Diamondbacks Giants going on tonight. Do you have a story for us with you, John Sterling, that you could share on the fan?
No, I just think that, you know, everything that you've heard and all the calls that you hear and you keep hearing, it just takes you back to all the great memories of it. And there, he's tied into Like you mentioned earlier, you know, he's tied into Derek Jeter and Bernie Williams and Mariano Rivera and all those great moments. You know, for me, it's like, I don't know that I can boil it down to one, because I've had the pleasure and the privilege of sitting with him
a lot,
and being part of things with him. But I would say I remember vividly the day after the 1996 World Series. It was a Sunday morning. The Yankees won a game six on Saturday night. Mike Frances was on Sunday morning. And a guy calls in and says, I want you to put my son on the air. He does a great John Sterling impression. I said, how old is he? He says, he's two. I said, I'm sorry, what? And I said, let me hear it. So he puts his son on the air, on the phone with me, not on the air. And he does this impression for me. And I said, all right, hold on a minute. And Mike's Sunday show was supposed to be a football show, but that day, because the Yankees, day after the Yankees won the World Series, it was all Yankees. First time they'd won in 18 years. So I told Mike, I said, Mike, in this group of calls here, this guy here, he has a two-year-old who actually does a great John Sterling impression. And I heard it. It's actually pretty good. If he manages to do it again, you know, I think you're going to like it. He goes, all right, put him on. So this guy, and I forget where he's from, but I remember his name was Nate. He was 2 years old. He gets on the air, and in a little two-year-old voice, Mike cues him up, and he says, it is high, it is far, it is gone. The Yankees win, the Yankees win. And Mike's howling, and like the kid nailed it, right? And John heard it, because I remember talking to him, I think maybe later that morning. I think he called in. And the fact that what I laugh about now is that that kid is 30 years old. And okay,
he might be listening right now.
And maybe he's listening now. Maybe he's a Yankee fan. Maybe he has a family now, right? And his kids are doing the same thing, listening to John Sterling. But those are the things, like I said earlier, you know, kids in the playground who are doing his home run calls, and you just take that and you grow up, and that it takes you to a part of your life. That's the beautiful thing about whatever announcers you grew up with. You know, earlier, and if you're Mets fans, you know, Howie Rose, Gary Cohen, Bob Murphy to the generation before, any of these guys who, you know, I grew up listening to Phillies games, and Harry Callis did the same thing for me. So all of these great voices, they just ingrain themselves in your mind and can in an instant take you back to a childhood memory or another part of your life that's important to you, with family, friends, whatever the case may be. And John's voice does that for so many people. And whatever critics there are of him, and I know there are, that's the point they're missing, is that people don't really care necessarily if he missed this call or if this happened and that happened, because the second you hear his voice, you're going to a different place in your mind. And that's what the beautiful thing about baseball and the radio really is.
It's powerful. It's powerful. Man, I appreciate you so much, Sweeney. I hope to see you Saturday if you can make it. If not, I'm sure we'll run into each other either at David Cohn's golf outing or Bernie Williams softball event, something like that coming up, right?
Keith, I hope much more success to you. Keep it going. You just keep getting better and better at this, as anybody who keeps doing it does. So, thanks for letting me come on. Thanks for asking me to come on. And I appreciate you.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's Sweeney Murdy, one of the best to ever do it. One of my favorites all time on The Fan. 877-337-6666. We'll open it back up for calls. My next guest won't join us for another 35 minutes or so. This is Keith McPherson on The Fan, KM to AM. Let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back. New York City. I understand there's not much going on with our local teams tonight, but hopefully you're enjoying the show. We're about 2 hours in. This is Keith McPherson, your nighttime host. We just had Sweeney Murdy on. Hopefully Yankee fans enjoyed that. Coming up next is Nick Bumgardner. We're going to get back into talking about the NFL draft at 9:15 with him, but still taking your calls at 877-337-6666 as we proceed to give you what you need on this Thursday night. Chris is in Seacliff, New York. What's up, Chris? You got it.
Keith, how you been?
Good. How are you?
Again.
Good.
Feeling great. So you're talking about John Sterling a little bit, and, you know, he's just so comforting I don't care what he's calling. If he calls the ball a home run and if he comes it out, it never bothered me. So I always
enjoy. He's charming. He has a charming way about him, even when he makes a mistake.
Yeah.
Even when the ball hits him in the face, coming from a foul ball that he couldn't measure coming right at him, in his own way, he just makes it entertaining.
Yeah, Craig Carton actually was showing that on his morning show the other day. Kind of funny. I was wondering why, you know, there's been a lot of talk about his replacement. Why isn't Ricky Ricardo in that conversation, or is he? I don't know. I don't listen to all the programs all the time, but
I don't know. I don't know if I have the answer, but we were talking about Ricky last night. Ricky is the Spanish voice in Espanol for Yankees baseball right now, calling all of those games, and there's a big audience there, I would assume, in New York.
Sure.
So I think it's Emmanuel Babari and Justin Shackle right now, and maybe somebody else will enter the mix in the offseason. But those two young guys, I think, are going to split up the rest of the games, and we'll just take it week by week and see how it goes.
You know, Justin's been doing a great job, so he's comforting. It's a good thing that Susan's still around. Do you mind if I give you a little Sterling take on my own?
Okay.
So Verdugo. So all right. Oh. Verdugo, he makes the ball go out of the park. Go, oh, that Verdugo.
I haven't heard John's. Did John get the call? Verdugo's home run in Arizona.
I made that up.
No, I'm like, I know. Verdugo hit his first homer in Arizona, and I think John was out there for that call. We'll have to try and pull that up. Thanks for the call, Chris. 877-337-6666. Connor, if you have the ability to look up Verdugo's call from John in Arizona, I don't think I've heard it.
I'll grab it. I think it was Alexander the Great that he went with, but I'll double check. I'll pull it up.
See, that's cool too, right? You know, John signs off, but if you're a guy like Alex Verdugo, this might be your only year playing with the Yankees, and you hit that home run and you get that forever. Like, forever, we are going to see new Yankees come in and imagine what John Sterling would call for their home run. Like, we heard 100 different versions of what they would call or what he would call for Juan Soto. And some people were right with the Soto photo. I don't think anybody had the "he's wonderful, marvelous" like that. When I heard John do that second part, that cracked me up. I love when he sings, and I love when he has a second part to it. He nailed it.
I have the call here, Keith, if you want to hear it.
Oh, yeah. Run it.
Verdugo is 0 for 3, and he hits a high drive to right. That ball is high. It is far. It is gone. Alex Verdugo. Alexander the Great trots around. A two-run home run to break the tie, and the Yankees have a 4-2 lead.
Count it in there. Verdugo the dog. Let's get back to the phones. Josh in the Bronx, thanks for holding. You're on now.
Keith, man, you know I'll hold the whole show for you. anyway, I hope that when the Yankees have that special day Saturday, that Hal and the rest of the ownership give him a plaque in Monument Park. And if not, that they would reschedule and have him come back and get that honor. He deserves it.
Yeah, they're going to definitely do something for him. I can't wait. I know it's going to be loud and people are going to be excited. And, you know, even today I was seeing online, I'm trying to go back, my guy David Rifkin quote tweeted Jack Curry's tweet. Jack Curry said he spoke with John Sterling for a few minutes today, congratulated him on a wonderful career, and he said, "Can you believe the fuss everyone is making?" And he said, "I told John he deserves all the attention because he brought so much joy to so many people. He will be missed." Like, if he thinks people are, like, making a fuss and there's a lot of chatter going on, he's going to have the whole Yankee Stadium clapping and applauding him on the field. And I don't think he's ever experienced that in, you know, Old Timers Day and even, you know, the Derek Jeter Day or Mariano. Like, this is going to be great for him.
Yes, sir. Just one more thing. I thought Frank Messer, Phil Rizzuto, and Bill White were witty and everything. And then comes along this John Sterling, and he's just flown all over the place to number one in our hearts as far as Yankee broadcasters go on radio and TV. It doesn't matter who's doing the broadcasting on us. This John Sterling has just, you know, he's just gotten everybody, you know, stirred up, and there's the plus, you know?
He's an original. He did it his way. Thanks for the call, John. Josh, John is a one of one. That's all I keep saying. When people talk about GOATs, who the greatest of all time is, John is a walking GOAT. When people talk about I'm him, John is him. He's not trying to be anybody else. He didn't change for anybody. All of these years, he still sounds the same. And I'm a little disappointed because the first couple calls of this year, I'm like, okay, John is back. He's energized. He's excited about this team. There's even a video, I think, when Judge hit his first homer, we had the video, and he looked at Susan kind of with this, like, nod, like, yup, see, there it is. And, you know, little did we know, John was like, it's time. It's time. And that's perfectly fine. He did great. Let's go to Frank in New Haven. What's up, Frank? You're on the Fan.
Hey, good evening, boss. How you doing?
Good, good. How are you?
Good, good. So I was wondering, you know, Soto, I'm so glad he is with us. In my view, a generation type of player. The one-year deal is what it is. What do you think, numbers-wise, we have to keep him. We need him. For World Series, longevity, we need that kind of a player. What kind of numbers do you think the contract is going to need to be to keep him and secure him longer?
I mean, he's 25 years old, so he could have a contract to, you know, play for another 14 years. 14 times, what do you think his annual average value is, right? You know, Judge is a right fielder that got $40 million. He's going to make more than Judge. Let's say it's $45 million a year for 14 years. 14 times 45, that gets you $630 million.
Wow. Wow.
I've just been saying he's going to get north of $600 million. Like, I don't know.
I remember when we got when we first got Rodriguez, and at that time it set a record for the biggest contract. I believe it was like $250 or $260, if I'm not mistaken.
The money is just going to keep going up. I remember us all marveling at that contract, thinking it was a lot now. Even Giancarlo Stanton's contract we thought was a lot when those numbers came out. I mean, Shohei Ohtani just signed for $700
million. All right. So thanks for taking my call. I just want to say one more thing. You know, Sterling deserves it, like the last caller said, a plaque at the least. My grandfather, he passed now, but that's who I grew up watching Yankees games with, listening to this channel. Every time I listen to the Fan, I have great memories. It never left the radio station in his car. And Sterling, I mean, just think of how many great, iconic, you know, he had his own style for sure, but it was, he made it what it was.
Yeah.
And
He is the voice of the Yankees over the last 30, 40 years.
Absolutely. Thank you for taking my call. Have a good night.
Thanks for the call, Frank. I would be surprised if they don't rename that booth, the John Sterling booth. I'd be surprised if there's not some type of plaque for fans to see in Monument Park or somewhere in the museum or stadium. They're going to do right by John. It's obvious. I'm so excited for his kids and his family members to get that adulation to take all that in. I hope they get to either, you know, come on the field or be shown somewhere. It's going to be a great day. I can't wait for Saturday. Can't party too hard Friday night because we got to get up and turn right back around and come to the stadium. Let's talk to Jake in Brooklyn on the Fan. What's up, Jake?
Hey, what's up, Keith? I just want to say one thing about John. Like, do you think they're going to do the new people that are on WFAN are going to do the home run calls and do the Yankees win, instead of John Sterling? No,
and I don't think anyone should try to do John's shtick, do John's catchphrases. That's just my opinion. I think I heard E-Man call a home run, and I think he's still working on his call, but I think he said something like, goodbye, like that ball is gone, goodbye. And I forget what Shackle does, but I think, you know, these guys got to come into their own. And I asked for people the last couple nights to give Justin Shackle and Emmanuel Babari time to grow into themselves now that John has stepped aside. I know there's so many people who are just, oh, they're not as good as John, or it's not going to be the same. Well, all things must change and evolve, and all things must come to an end. These two guys are young, and they're very smart and talented guys coming out of Fordham. They are going to kind of carve out their own lane and become their own announcers for the Yankees. I think they have a shot to come up with their own catchphrases and their own things. They don't have to try and beat John Sterling.
All right, just one more idea. Maybe at the end of each game, they could put a recording of John Sterling, if they win, saying, the Yankees win, the Yankees win, or something like that.
We talked about that last night. That's easy for them to clip the audio of John Sterling saying, the Yankees win, and then bam, 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 like, before they play Frank, if they want to just easily put that audio in there, that can be done.
Right. Also, do you think he's going to come back for, let's say, the World Series for one game or something?
I have put it out there. I put it out there online. I've put that out there on air right here on WFAN. This year's for John. Be so good that John wants to come back. And be so good that you make it to the World Series where John says, I got one more in me. I'll do game one or whatever game it is.
Okay, thanks for taking my call.
No problem, Jay. I mean, if John doesn't want to come back, that's perfectly fine. But, you know, I think I heard the Kaster talking the other day about it. Like, you know, what if you walk away, and what if you have the itch, or what if the team is so good and you miss it and you want to come back? I made the joke the other day. This is WFAN. Nobody really retires. Joe Beningo still got a show every week. I thought he retired. My guy Steve Summers retired, right? They said I, quote-unquote, replaced Steve Summers. I told you nobody could replace Steve. And Steve has come back, and he sounds just the same. So the door, I think, will still be open if John says, I got one more in me, or I want to do, you know, a postseason game or series, and maybe that could happen. But no pressure, John. All right, it's 9 o'clock. We got to go to the break and the update in about 15 minutes. I'll bring in Nick Bumgarner for our conversation around the NFL draft. But we'll still take calls on the Yankees, on the Mets, and later on we'll start talking more about the Knicks. Keith McPherson on the Fan. I'll be right back.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or track pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.